what is the most important thing which he has to do before the death comes. And he listened very carefully, he listened so carefully that in the middle of it, he felt so inspired, and he said, "I have to say also something. I feel just so inspired by what you tell me that I have no interest to eat and to sleep. And now I'm going to say something. After 7 days, I will have left this place. I will have left this body. But this, what you explain, is just so good that my only request is that it continues on and on and on, this flow of nectar." At that time, the devatas came, demigods, and they brought a huge pot of nectar. Do you know, nectar makes you immortal if you drink it. In other words, they had the medicine for Maharaj Parikshit. He could become immortal. And they said, "We have now brought this pot of nectar. We are tradesmen. We are the Handelsleute. We want to give this pot of nectar. Huh? Everyone in the audience can drink it. But our only desire is that it is permitted that we take Shukadev Goswami and bring him to the heavenly planets and let him talk there." And then everyone said to them, "Get out! Get out! Nonsense, devatas! This nectar of the Bhagavatam, it is the true Amrita. It is the true nectar of immortality. It is not... we want to hear from Shukadev Goswami. We don't want your drink, your anti-death drink, your herbal life, or your anti-death drink." So you can see Parikshit Maharaj, he valued the Krishna Katha more than even deathlessness, because by hearing the Krishna Katha, we can solve our existential problem of being wrongly attached to this material world, and we can become attached to Krishna, and in this way go back home, back to Godhead. And that's the only deathlessness, that's the only nectar which we want to achieve. I see our Ishvari is very sick with a flu, serious flu. Can you make it? Maybe you should sit on the sofa when it gets too bad and you lose your consciousness. Now, the flu which our devotee is suffering from, it's a bad infection, but even much, much worse than any material disease, even the most heaviest, like AIDS and so on and so forth, is our deadly attachment. Svavanost, or something. Our attachment to this material world, which really brings us to the position to always experience death and a new birth in material life. So this hearing of Krishna Katha is against this. Now I hope I can do this today. You have to give me encouragement by your eagerness to listen, and then I might be able to say something. Now, let us go to the verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is the perfect seer, because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart as Supersoul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayasho Videsh, Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord in his Paramatma feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahmana. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows. Atatvach chamatritvach cha atmahi paramohari. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or Mother is also. Consequently, the Super Soul is always in every living being. Outwardly, also every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in the 7th chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or superior and the material or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in him in one way or another. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations according to the results of fruitive work, in all circumstances remain the servants of God, while in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is a servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. Translation. Sarva bhutasnam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. The Lord is situated in every one of us, and we are all situated within the Lord. That understanding is Krishna consciousness. Once there was a sadhu, a devotee, who traveled to some distant town and felt tired all of a sudden. So he put himself to rest and slept for a while, when all of a sudden a Muslim came. "Wake up, wake up!" "Why?" said the sadhu. "Your feet are pointing towards the mosque." This is very irreligious. You have to put yourself in a different sleeping position. Allah is there in the mosque, and your dirty feet are going in his direction. "Ah," says the sadhu, "I'm very tired. Very difficult to move for me. You move my feet in a direction where Allah is not present. You do. I'm just so weak and very tired." The man thought, "What? I have to find a direction in which Allah is not present?" And then he saw the point. "Not possible. Allah is everywhere." So in Krishna consciousness, this very simple, very practical understanding must be there. If a devotee isolates his life, or for that matter, any event in his life, from the Supreme Lord, that is called Maya, a situation of being separated, an illusory state of existence which is not there. Maya is there whenever you separate yourself or anything from Krishna. At that moment, you will get bewildered, you will get confused, you will be disturbed, and you will be swept away. See, the moment you fail to perceive Krishna in your life or in any event, you descend from the state of Krishna consciousness, descend heißt herabsteigen, to the material consciousness. And the result is that either ignorance or passion will come and take you away. O living entity, why do you remain caught in the net of Maya? You are like a fish who has left the ocean of the free Krishna consciousness and are enmeshed, also verfangen, in the network of Maya, of illusion. This happens whenever you take to a state of consciousness where you see things separately from Krishna, where you see your life separately from Krishna. I often said a devotee in his life must feel the mercy of Krishna. That's the most important factor in the life of a devotee. It's more important than even bread, butter, cheese. To feel the mercy of Krishna is more important than all these things. Ishwari, I feel so much compassion for you because I had a flu 2 months ago. Don't you want to sit on the sofa? That is much easier. This is the situation in a devotee's life. You must feel the mercy of Krishna. Let us all stop for a moment, because I'm going to talk today about the point how to obtain the mercy of Krishna. And let us ask the question to all of you. Can you imagine any instance, Anhaltszeichen, in your life where there is a mercy of Krishna at the present moment? When I saw the sick Ishwari, I had an overwhelming feeling. I feel the mercy of Krishna because I'm healthy. I was very, very much suffering a few months ago, and I did not think it would be possible for me to become like this again. So that's how I feel at this present moment. Mercy of Krishna. I have other things which are a little private to talk about. But Nandarani, how do you feel the mercy of Krishna? Yes? Thank you very much, but I can't repeat that. Okay. Anyone else? Nico, what is the mercy of Krishna at this stage of your life? Is this a little bit too private to talk about? Yeah. You have an idea that there are small arrangements in your life which happen, which are the mercy of Krishna, small and big, but you regret, du bedauerst es, that you can't always recognize it as the mercy of Krishna. That's a very interesting answer. What is the mercy in your life? Krishna's mercy in your life? That's the question. It's a good question, isn't it? Yes, please. Mm-hmm. We can see the mercy of Krishna, that we have the possibility to be in this movement and not in the life of a non-devotee. Yes, somewhere else. Yeah. I feel the mercy of Krishna because I can remember him. That's the mercy of Krishna. Mm-hmm. This is a very good question for the active brains and a problematic question for the passive brains. Once, the king of Puri, his name is Maharaj Prataparudra, was asking his chief minister to come. He had a very, very difficult question. He said, in this town of Puri, there is this Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tell me, who is he? I feel so attracted to his dancing golden form. The big dancer, the big golden dancer. He has attracted my heart. I don't know, who is he? O said Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, according to the Vedas, he's none other than moving Jagannath. Jagannath deity is in the temple, but he has left the temple to benefit the fallen souls. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. I had that feeling, said Maharaj Prataparudra, this king. Where is he now? Oh, he has left Puri, said Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he is now going through all the towns of southern India to liberate the living entities. Why has he left Puri? Said the king. I do not know, said Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He is the independent personality of Godhead, and he moves according to his will, just like the sun, which moves on the horizon according to his will, never under the control of anyone or anything. Oh, said Prataparudra, but I want to see him. I am the king of this kingdom of Orissa, but I know that next to Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in their face, I am just a servant. Oh, said Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, when he comes back, I will try to arrange an interview, but it's not easy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he went out. And he said to himself, it will not be possible to arrange it because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he will never see a king. A king is dealing with politics and with money. He is dangerous for sannyasi. But then he heard the king in his room calling, Sarvabhauma, come. He came and he said, by the way, where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu staying? I think we should give him a good place. He should stay at the house of Kashi Mishra. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Kashi Mishra and said, the king has ordered that there are nice quarters for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he returned. He was very powerful. So that he arranged a beautiful residence for Mahaprabhu. You can visit this. I was staying for 3 days in this residence, not moving even a meter out of it. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from a South India tour, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to him, "We have nice quarters for you. They are given to you by the arrangements of the king." "Oh, this is very nice," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "but I'm going wherever you want me to go." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Yes, we want you to go in these quarters." "All right." And then he met, it's a very nicely described, but I fear that it will become too long to explain the Leela, how the Lord met many, many different devotees. And then the next day, after he had just returned, and so many devotees came to his shelter, and they were introduced by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is here Bhavananda Roy and his son Vaininath. He will be your servant. And Mahaprabhu said, "Bhavananda Roy, I recognize you. You are no one else than Pandu Maharaj, and your five sons are the five Pandavas. You have been my eternal servants." In other words, he referred to Krishna Leela, where Lord Krishna was interrelating with the five Pandavas, Arjuna, in a very Yudhishthira in a very friendly way. So this is a long scene. It's very moving to hear this, but I want to stay on the subject of how to get the mercy of the Lord. Now, next morning, Sarvabhauma came to see Mahaprabhu and said, "Please allow me to say something without fear. Please just allow me to say something, and I should not have fear that you will interrupt me or will find it objectionable, what I say." Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr das manchmal kennt, wenn man so sagt, kann ich etwas ohne Furcht sagen? I'm sometimes in situations where I meet leaders of our movement who are very strong-minded, and I'm often addressing my talk like this. Can I say something without being afraid? "Sachinanda Swami, you don't have to be afraid of us. Just wait what I'm saying." Just say yes or no. "Yes, you can say." So this is what Mahaprabhu also said. He said, "Yes, you can say, but I may agree or I may disagree with you." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took all his courage and said, "The king is a very nice devotee of yours." "Yes," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "He has arranged for your quarters." Silence. "He says that he wants to see you, or if he does not see you, he will give up his kingship," er wird aufhören, König zu sein, "and go to the forest." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "You should never say the word king again in my presence. If you say it once again, I will leave Puri once and for all. I, as sannyasi, I will fall down if I meet such materialistic-minded people. Never bring this up to me again." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to the king and said, "I'm sorry, you don't get the mercy of the Lord, it seems." "Why not? Why not?" said Prataparuda. "You are a king. You are a politician. Mahaprabhu does not want to have anything to do with these." "Well, if the Lord doesn't see me, I will kill me. What is the use of my life of a king if I don't get the mercy of the Lord because of this?" Then the king sent his little boy, a very nice boy. The boy came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he started to sing different songs. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the boy, who looked very, very nice. He was dressed with a little crown, there was a feather here, and just a very beautiful young boy, the son of a king. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt deep ecstasy because this boy reminded him of Krishna. So he was lost in ecstasy. Now the next day, the boy came again. And then he asked, "Who is this boy who sings so nice?" "Some boy. But he looks so aristocratic." Bhattacharya didn't want to say it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew who the boy is. And he said, "You're singing so nice. You take this, my outer garment," took the thing, huh? "Here, and you bring it to your father." See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-knowing, omniscient. So Savabhoma Bhattacharya said, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had threatened if he would mention the word king again, he would leave Puri once and for all. So he got the boy got the remnants, and Prataparudra every morning worshipped this piece of cloth. It's none different than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is such a devotee. I have learned from this that you may not get anything directly, you may not get Krishna's darshan right away, but you can take things which the Lord has used. In my room I have the buffalo horn of the Lord, and the flute of the Lord, and the crown of the Lord. I'm collecting this until the room falls into pieces, you know, bursts, zerplatzt. Because just to have something from the Lord is already having him very close, isn't it? Don't you sometimes have this feeling, you know, in the world sometimes? I remember when I was young, there were girls in my classroom who said, if we could just get a little hair from one of the Beatles, then, you know, we will be able to rest in peace. It was my time. I think you think it's impossible, but yes, there were people like this. We can just get something. So this is a perverted reflection of Tadiyanam Samacharam. Anyways, Savabhoma Bhattacharya said to Prataparudra, "I cannot give you an audience of the Lord, but I have an idea. And now, if you listen to this idea, you will get the idea how you can get the mercy of Krishna." During the Rath festival, the Puri festival, what you should do is, you should give up all your dress as a king, you should take a broom and basin, and just brush before the cart. You should sweep before the cart. And then, when the Lord is tired from dancing, you go in your Vaishnav cloth. He will be resting in one of the gardens, and you massage his legs, and you sing the mantras from the Gopi Gita. That's a section in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the Lord will be pleased. Now, it is described that when the Lord had come out of his temple, he was carried by these strong daityas and was put on the Jagannath cart. Then Prataparudra came, the king, and swept. Now, sweeping the street in India, in the social system, is considered the lowest position a person can take. A street sweeper, they're called bungee, really dirty person, because he's covered with the dust of other people's feet, and he sometimes has to sweep the canalization, you know, the canalization, I think it's called in English. That's really a low thing. There in the canalization, everything is floating, even stool, because they have it over the earth and not under the earth in old times. So Pratapa Rudra took this position in one of the gardens, just sweating. Then he came and sung the Tavakadham Ritam Tavta Jivanam. He came like dancing into the garden, the king, you know, really in simple cloth, not even in silk. I have silk, this type of simple renounced dhoti he had on, and he was massaging the feet of the Lord, and the Lord was, "Who are you? Who are you? You sing so nice." Pratapa Rudra was instructed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to not say, "I'm the king." He said, "I'm the servant of your servant. That's what who I am." So the king was accepted, in other words. Later, when Mahaprabhu danced before the Ratha Yatraka, there were three devotees who could see really the dancing of the Lord. What the Lord did is he expanded Shiniketan. This is a very interesting. You are a little tired this evening, but this you must hear. He expanded in 10 forms. Can you imagine? 10 forms danced. I mean, this must be wonderful. Imagine this: some dancing Vaishnava is here, and he dances, and all of a sudden you see another form coming. Then another, then 10, and they all danced independently. And they took different positions in the kirtan, and different devotees were all around them, and they thought he's the Lord. They did not know of this, but three devotees could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing this mystical wonder and expanding in 10 forms. So Maharaj Pratapa Rudra was one, and he fainted. I think it is understandable to faint at that moment, isn't it, Radha Raman? Das kann man schon. It's okay. So he was so overwhelmed, because the Lord had actually accepted him and shown him his own glory. So in obtaining the mercy of the Lord, and this is our subject today, you really have to, you know, give up what is called in Sanskrit the abhiman. Abhiman is a certain understanding which comes when the eternal soul identifies with this material body. It thinks, "I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a this, I'm a very advanced, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a guru, I'm a this, and I'm a that." This has to be really given up. And you have to understand, I'm actually a servant of my spiritual master, very low servant. The minute a Vaishnav comes to this understanding, he's very close to Krishna consciousness. Humility is defined by Sanatana Goswami even though a person is very qualified, he still thinks he's not qualified. That is a bona fide feeling which a devotee can obtain who really has the goal before his eyes. sacrifice, the humility is a sacrifice because you give all the false things away. Humility is even more a sacrifice than Hare Krishna Gopinath Prabhu, than sacrificing money or a pen or your car, if you have a car, or your wristwatch. It's much more difficult It is much more difficult to give up false conceptions. There is a wonderful verse by one great king, actually. His name is Bhartahari. Bhartahari said, I've given up my kingdom, given up my palace, given up my crown and my scepter, given up my position even. In my heart, I have not given up my ego. In my heart, I have not given up lust. Now my cushion are the arms on which I sleep. My bed is the scent of the desert. The baldachin under which I'm resting is a cold night sky. But I could not give up my lust to enjoy this world. Saying in the Vairagya Satakam, these are 100 verses on renunciation. He's saying like this. Humility means to understand I am not the body. I am a soul. I am different from what is in my mind. I am different from what is on my bones. Ich bin verschieden von dem, was in meinem Geist ist, und verschieden von dem, was ich auf den Knochen trage, also mein Körper. That's the position of reality. Krishna consciousness has to be founded on this vairagya, that means detachment, and vidya, or knowledge. And the only way to do this is to have the goal in mind that I want to just please Krishna. I want to serve my Lord. I want to become accepted by Him. Then you can break down the walls of this false identity which surrounds us more or less like a prison. I'm saying more or less like a prison. It's less a prison when you engage this body and its capabilities in the service of Krishna. We all have a certain nature, and it will be extremely difficult to give that up. It's said it's easier to move a mountain than a character. Believe me, I am an old man by now, and I know from my experience in this movement and from my experience with my own ballast, called the body and the mind, that is true. Mediutum, but it is possible if one takes to ascend, it's called yukta vairagya in our philosophy. One engages this body and the mind and their abilities only in the service of Krishna, nothing more. This is how we engage that. As soon as we can do that, then our eternal Krishna consciousness will come forth. It will bloom. Just like the king of Puri, he engaged his body and his mind in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, you know, he did even the meanest, not meanest thing, you say, That activity which was considered to be the lowest, he served. Later, however, he did not only serve as a street sweeper, he also served as a king. Not required. So what you can do, find out. What can you do? What do you like to do? And engage that in Krishna service. Then you can get the mercy of Krishna. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening to this class. I hope you got some inspirations and ideas about it, from it. I want to see now if you have any questions. Well, the other day someone asked me a question which went like this. The devotee was asking well, it is sometimes not easy to surrender. It seems we have to be in a position of strength to surrender. Do you understand this question? You know, the king really was prepared to give up everything and become a street sweeper. He was prepared to give up his attachment to this material world and position. That's the whole message of this Leela. But this is very difficult for an ordinary person. Now the answer is, if you do want to surrender, it is a fact you have to be in a position of strength. From where do you get strength in devotional service? Strength? Snaga. You ask what is the meaning of strength? Snaga, I think, no? But you are from Poland. That doesn't help you, that word. It's a Yugoslavian word. What is strength? Huh? Don't know? Power. Power to the people. You know, strength for the devotees. From where do you get the strength? This is a very, very important question which we have to ask, because we are not strong on our own. Would you agree, Rupananda? Not so strong. I mean, anything can happen in the course of 50 years, you know. From where do you get the strength? Der Weg der Kraft. What is the path of the strength? I remember a story which they talk about in shamanism. You know, the Indians from North America. They have an understanding that a disciple or Schüler is taught by his master, and sometimes the master will ask him to do things which are actually beyond what he would ordinarily do. Like I read this one story of, I think, this chieftain, Häuptling, or no, shamanist, the shamanistic priest, who healed a sick sportsman for 3 days. You know, the hospital had given up hope, they couldn't help him or save him. And he was there and tried his shamanistic medicines and procedures. In 3 days there was no sleep. He worked day and night to save the life of this boy, and it's a true story. And after 3 days, they were successful. He had an assistant. Now, after this assistant thought, okay, now we will take a good rest. But the shamanistic priest said, no rest. Please drive me home now. And the assistant, after 3 days, was so tired, he saw two roads. It was impossible for him to drive. But no, he was encouraged to drive, and he almost drove off the road. So they continued on the road. Then they came to, I do not know the English word, the Steinbruch. What is a Steinbruch? You know, where you get stone, where you bang on stones for the road. Like a mine, yes. Like not a coal mine, but a mine for stones. That was on the way to the home. So this Uncle Sam, also this shamanistic healer, said, now let us go out and work on the stone mine. Now some of our devotees can't follow. Stone mine? Yes, our Polish devotees are... Versteht ihr alle? Do you all understand? No? Say in Yugoslavian, what is a stone mine? Kamenolo, yes. Kamenolotsky. So, he was so tired, and he did not see the point. Why should he work in a coal mine? Not coal, Steinbruch. And anyways, he followed, and he bang the thing, and he saw the world in five different versions before his eyes. He was, you know, going like this. And the Uncle Sam said, "Hara, don't be a woman, you know. I want to get bang on the street." And the Uncle Sam also worked like a young guy. And all of a sudden, he said, "Do you see? Do you see? Do you see?" The apprentice, What? Just work harder if you don't see anything, you know. Boom, boom, boom. And at the end, he saw something. I would say something that life is beyond this body, that beyond the borders of body and mind, there's existence going on. I'm not from the shamanistic tradition. I don't know what they saw, but something they saw, some energy so on and so forth. So sometimes devotees also think, yes, if I want the mercy of Krishna, or if I want to become stronger in Krishna consciousness, then I have to pass heavy tests. That's how I become stronger. It's almost like when you go, when you Klimmzüge macht. You know, I can now do eight things like this. When I started, I was with half. I could only do half. Now I'm doing because I need to train my heart so that I can overcome the after effects of my medical problem. So when you do this, there's certain exercises, you can push your borders and experience that there is you can live beyond your borders. So sometimes devotees think, in my service, I have to go through heavy tests, and then I somehow will become more Krishna conscious. This is not such a really wrong philosophy, but I think the place where you start is wrong. Should not start in the stone, in the Steinbruch, in the Kaminal. Yes, this word, where you can crack the stones, but you should know from where you will get the snaga, the strength. First get the strength, then do the tests. Strength you can get very easily by being connected with Krishna. See, Prataparudra, he heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he got the cloth of Mahaprabhu. That's how it all started. And then he got the service. Then he got the mercy. So let us hear every day on Sri Krishna. Don't waste your time during your 1 hour reading time. Don't waste the time when it's time to read. Just get it together. Hear, read this 1 hour a day, speaking and chant your rounds properly. Then you will get the strength to overcome all the different tests and get the mercy of Krishna. This is an answer to a question. I was thinking this is a good question, so before your questions, I wanted to give this question into the arena. But I think there are also questions by now. I saw some devotees putting their hands up. No? Rupananda? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We are not always engaged to our likings. I know you were a drummer and you don't drum these days any longer. You're beating the big drum, the Sankirtan drum, isn't it? You go on Sankirtan. Brihat Madanga. Why is it like this? I personally think there are two reasons. The first reason I feel is that our movement is a preaching movement and we do have preaching activities to be done. That's a very practical reason, isn't it? We are a missionary movement. And it seems that our Schwerpunkt is establishing the movement by book distribution and by Sankirtan. Now another reason which I think might be even more interesting for you is that Krishna wants to see whether or not you came for the real thing. I know that many of our devotees in our movement did not join before because of Krishna. And if they don't learn to put Krishna in the center, then this movement cannot do any good for them. They cannot be elevated to the platform of pure devotees. In my own life as a spiritual master, I have seen that even some of my disciples, they don't want Krishna. It's an awful situation. I'm here and saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They say, oh, no, 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 other things, other things, other things. It's a difficult platform to have a relationship, a meaningful relationship. So I think this movement is testing us, or this life, the short life in Krishna consciousness is testing us. Do we want the real thing? I know that this was often done in spiritual schools, for instance, the Buddhistic tradition. If you want to join a monastery, then they would test you really severe. You would have to live for 1 year, imagine Rupananda, for 1 year in the cold Himalayas. You would only have a blanket, and all you would eat is what the crumbs, breadcrumbs which the monks threw over the wall, and they didn't have an opulent, you know, brot mit Philadelphia Käse, or you know, or marzipan and nougat dazu, you know. They just had a simple Hirsebrei or Hirsebrot. You know. I'm sorry, I'm getting German. I don't know these words in English. They had a very simple food. 1 year, that's all. Then imagine what immune system you would need it for this, to survive this. I just can't imagine, you know, just you really needed to be trained in austerity to really make it think we all would get a cold like Ishwari after 2 days. We would have to go back to the heating system, strong heating. Now, then the next thing would be, you would be allowed to enter the monastery after 1 year, but then then you would have to wash the pots for another year. Pot washing is the most terrible thing in the universe, if you have ever done it. For 1 year, and you wouldn't even hear one word what the Buddha said. So then after 2 years like this, the person would say, okay, come here. I'm telling you something. Then the apt would tell something. So when I heard this before I came to Krishna consciousness, I said, wonderful. I want spiritual life. I can pass these tests. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I had to pass these tests. I remember very strongly, I came from such a well-kept house. I had my own this and my own that. And all of a sudden, here I was with many people sleeping in one schlafsaal, in one sleeping, and then we had to take cold showers in the morning. Oh, that was the worst thing. I never did that in my life before. And, it was difficult. It was difficult. We had not enough things to eat. I had to beg at the fish market for food so that we can, that the temple had something to eat. I remember in the early days, you can't imagine what us. It was almost like a Buddhistic cloister, a monastery. We had to go, for instance, Smita Krishna Maharaj and myself, and Bhakti Bhusha Maharaj and myself, we went to the Großmarkt, you know, where you can buy vegetable in big quantities, and we begged for those things which could not be sold. People were so arrogant with us. Before my eyes, they just took one box of avocados, good avocados, and threw that into their machine, which destroyed all the vegetables because they didn't want the devotees to take the nice things for free. You know, just demoniac. And I looked there and saw the avocados and thought it was so nice for the Vaishnavas. Would be so happy if I bring some avocados, you know. And then somehow they didn't like us because we were so happy, and they were early in the morning always and so down to sell these foolish vegetables, you know, and they were so envious on us. They began to hate us. These happy people, they come and take all the things for free, and they began to chase us. I remember we couldn't go any longer outside of the Großmarkt through the main gate. What did we have to do? We had to take with big boxes of vegetables. We had to rob over the Rohre der Fernwärmheizung. You know, these silver tubes where the heat was coming through, and we had to go over the small river, and sometimes it was covered with ice, and we were sitting there, and the river was down there, felt like in a circus, you know, and we had to just climb over big fences to you can only do it if you want, or if you like the devotees, and if you like devotional service, and if you like Krishna. That's sometimes I think it's too easy to join Krishna consciousness. You have to. But if we don't do it, I mean, we have then no one of us, then nothing will work, and everyone will run home. Anyways, everyone is running home already, you know, when it gets a little tough. So, I think Krishna in our life wants to show, wants to test us, so that we show some substance. So now it's 5 minutes to 9 o'clock. I would like to finish the lecture here. I thank you very, very much. Tomorrow I will fly to England and meet the bishops of England. I will preach some interreligious preaching. And then we will stay for 1 week. I will be every day in some other part of London and give lectures to the, you know, whoever wants to hear, friends, newcomers, and also devotees. And then we will sit down for one week. Yeah, during the day we will meet with a group of Vaishnavas. This group is called Vaishnava Training and Education. We want to make programs for our devotees to be educated in Krishna consciousness, so that they can be very strong, and that no Maya is there in their lives. That's our desire. Nice, huh? So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Adi Gaur.